Heavenly Father, as we begin our time together this afternoon, we thank you that you came down to earth from heaven. We marvel at this event, that the creator of everything was to be found as a baby in the town of Bethlehem all those years ago. We ask that you would speak to us through the singing of familiar carols and the well-known stories of the Bible, that through this baby we would see your salvation for the world, and that we would know your gift of eternal life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
This reading's from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
From the Bible about God, how God showed that he really loves us. And we've got some special guests with us this evening. We've got the Bethlehem Sheep Security Team, and they're just going to tell us how they heard about this good news. So we'll just sit and listen to them.
Hello, Bat.
Hello, Barbara.
Not to be rude, but what is with the sunglasses?
They're to protect my eyes from bright light.
But, Bat, it's the middle of the night. There's no bright lights out here in the paddock.
Ah, but there could be.
No, there won't be. The sun won't be up for another 6 hours yet.
Well, there were once a really big bright light in the middle of the night.
Really? When was that?
Oh, years ago, when we were out in paddock with our sheep, and it went very, 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 very dark. And suddenly, there were this bright light shining in our eyes.
What was that?
It were an angel. Our sheep were really scared. They didn't know what were happening.
You mean an angel from heaven? A messenger from God himself here?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. He told us not to be afraid because he had good news of great joy for all people. A very special baby had been born.
I've never heard of an angel doing the birth notices before.
No, that's because this baby were God's son. He were born to be the saviour of the world. And then the whole sky were full of angels all singing praises to God. It was so bright, I couldn't even look at them, and I wish I had my sunglasses then.
Well, what did you do after that?
Well, when the angels had gone and we'd sorted ourselves out, we raced off to see the baby. The angel had said that we'd find him in an animal's feeding trough for a bed. And we came back sometime later, excited, and we told everyone that we had seen the baby Jesus.
That must have been a wonderful night for you, Bat.
It certainly were.
Well, that was a long time ago, not to be rude, but why are you still wearing your sunglasses?
Well, I've been told that Jesus is coming back not as a baby, but as a glorious king.
Wow! I wonder what that will be like!
Yeah, if it were bright when he came as a baby, think how bright it'll be when he comes in all his heavenly glory! They say we've got to be ready for this!
Well, I'd better get my sunglasses on then!
Well, actually, Barbara, I think there's more we need to do to prepare for King Jesus. More than just putting your sunglasses on and getting the right glasses. We need to live with him as our king.
Oh, well, this all sounds very interesting. I'm very excited about it. I'd like to find out more.
Well, yeah, well, don't come any further. Let's go talk about it now. Come on, sheep. Come down, sheep. Come down from the hill. Come on, come on.
Bethlehem Sheep Security Team. Well, at Junior Church and Kids Club, we've been learning a song which is about when the angels appeared to the shepherds. So we would like to perform it, sing it to you now, if that's okay. So if the children want to come up to the front, we'll sing this song. Come on.
Thank you. The reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6 and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Reading is from Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man who is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her.
This is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken out of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be married with, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn.
Well, hello. I was asked to give 3 or 4 minutes on what Christmas means to me. I suppose, first of all, it's a bit of time off. That's what it means to me, and time with my family. It also means that I think the nature of my diary changes. I do different sorts of duties. This is not a duty. Many of you will know this is our church, is where we come. But I have in my pocket my tie, because this evening across the river I have a duty, a joyful duty, but a duty to read at the other, at the parish church carol service later on, where I'll go in slightly more formal garb. Another duty I did this week, which is a bit kind of Christmas related, was that I went to do the kind of, I go to the hospital probably every other week on business of one kind or another, but I went last week to the official MP's visit to the hospital, where you walk around the wards. And they always take you, and I'm glad they always take me, to the maternity unit, to Helm Chase. Laurie, our youngest, will be 5 next week, so I go and I get broodier and broodier, and I'm not allowed anymore, so there you go. But there you are. And there was a beautiful little boy, who was 2 days old, called Owen. And Owen had a thick head of hair, more than I've got, only 2 days old. Not hard, but there you go. He was born to a lovely couple from Milnthorpe who, and there'd been slight complications. And so Owen was 3/4 of his way there, and then they had to be rushed down to Lancaster, where he was safely delivered. And then a few hours later, when all was safe and well, they both came up and they were recuperating, and all was going very well when I went to see them all. Now, at this point here, you have no evidence, and I have no further evidence other than my word to you, that Owen was indeed 2 days old at that point, that he did have a thick head of hair, that he had that difficult birth, and indeed that all was well at this point, and his mum and dad came came from Milnthorpe. I'm sure if you went out and wanted to research and to double check that I was telling you the truth, you could find out. But for this moment, you've just got to take my word for it. Now, at this point of year, we celebrate another birth. And I can tell you some of the things about that birth. And we've heard many accounts or many indications, parts of the address, if you like, of Jesus Christ, this baby who was born just over 2,000 years ago in Palestine under the rule of the Romans. We know that he was born to a couple called Joseph and Mary. We know it is said that Mary was a virgin. We know that it took place at a time of a census where Herod was trying to call all the people back to where they came from. We know, therefore, because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that his earthly father was of the line of David. So various bits of facts I can tell you about. And actually, these things are, there's evidence, just as much as you can go and find, if you really wanted to, evidence in the registry office in a week or so's time to Owen's birth, the time, the date, the weight, and all the rest of it. So there is historical evidence to testify to Jesus Christ's birth, to that couple, at that place, at that time, under that regime. The difference is, Owen is life-changing to his mum and dad, and his grandparents, and his family. And, yeah, quite a profound impact on me. But if I am correct, if what I've just told you about Owen is true, and it is, lovely though it is, it isn't life-changing for most of you, is it, really? But if what we're hearing today about this baby Jesus, 2,000 years ago, is true, it's the most staggering historical fact there is. Whatever's in the news today, totally ignore it. It is completely and utterly irrelevant to the fact that God came down to earth as a baby and grew up to be a man. And then we are told, and I believe, died for our sins and then rose again. Now, you know, is this a load of old nonsense? Is it a fairy story? Is it just like a lot of other things we read about at this jolly time of year? Well, let me just remind you, we've been reading from John's Gospel, haven't we, so far this evening, or part of the reading has been from John's Gospel. Those of you who remember, I'm sure, as Jesus was dying on the cross, he indicated, as best he could, to John, that John should take care of Jesus' mother, Mary. Well, if there was an eyewitness worth listening to, it was Jesus' mum. And John wrote one of the four Gospels. Eyewitness? Certainly, somebody was writing down the account of an eyewitness. And does it matter? Is it just a lovely story? It may be true, it may not be true. And if it's true, does it even matter? Well, yes, it does. I mean, wasn't Holly wonderful before she started off our readings? But let's just remind ourselves that this isn't just. If it's true, it really, really, really matters. Whoever believes in him, says John, as Holly read out to us before, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So this isn't only wonderful. It's also staggeringly, staggeringly important. And like the rest of you, Christmas will really mean to me time to let my hair down, do as little as possible, watch the telly, eat too much, possibly even drink too much, and not go into work for a week or so. But that is really, really what Christmas should mean to all of us. So I'm now going to read to you some words from Luke, who wrote about, part of the story we saw so wonderfully depicted on the stage a moment or two ago. Luke 2, 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
This reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
It's a long time since I can remember a time when there's been so much gloom, so much bad news, so little hope. And 2011 is going to be worse, apparently. And I think the best bit of news we've heard in 2010 was when those miners were rescued in Chile. Can you remember that? There was over 30 miners, and they were stuck half a mile under the ground. Imagine that, half a mile under the ground. And after 18 days, I think it was, they managed to get a shaft down, and they were able to send food down the shaft, and that meant that the miners could live. And then eventually they sent a man down, a doctor, in a cage. And the doctor saw that they were okay. He gave them a health inspection. And then he went back up again. And then one by one they sent the cage down that shaft. And one by one every miner stepped into that cage. And it was like that. Well, I wouldn't have liked it. And they were hauled up half a mile from the darkness into the light, from death to life. It was a huge rescue project. And if you saw the television news, I'm sure you'll be able to remember them all embracing each other and weeping tears of joy. And recently some of them even got over here to watch Manchester United, which was great. And you know, that rescue story reminds me of Christmas, which is even better news, because the Bible says that this world is in darkness. It's in darkness because we've rebelled against God who made us. He's the light, he's love, he's goodness, he's truth, he's everything, he's grace. And we've turned our backs on him and we've said, "No, thank you very much." We've sinned. The word sin, S-I-N, shove off God, S. I'm in charge. No to your ways. Sin, S-I-N. Shove off God. I'm in charge. No to your ways. So this world is a dark place because it's a sinful place. And you know what the Bible tells us? It tells us that God himself came from the light in the person of Jesus, as we've just been told by Tim and in the Bible readings. God himself came down to where we are, into this world of darkness. And he came to lift us up. And he came to lift us out. And he actually died for us on the cross. He took the blame. He took the punishment for all our wrongdoing, for all our rebellion. And if we trust in him, we can be lifted out from darkness into marvelous light. All of those miners had to wear special sunglasses when they came out, because they were so used to the dark that their eyes just couldn't take the light. And that's a bit like it feels when you become a Christian. You come out of darkness into light, and out from death into life. And I'd just like to read again that reading that Holly gave, and Tim referred to it again, and I'm going to refer to it again. Can you just turn back to it? It was the first reading that Holly gave. It's on the first page of the order of service. The reading from John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Will you listen to this very, very carefully, everybody? Everybody listening? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. To save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Each one of those miners had to believe in that cage. They had to trust themselves to that cage. They had to trust the people at the top who were hauling the winch to get that cage up into from the darkness to the light. They had to put their faith in that cage. And we have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, each one of those miners could have said, well, it's not too bad down here, actually. The food they're sending down is quite good. It's a bit dark. It's a bit smelly. But one of them apparently used to go jogging in the mine every morning. And some miners could have said, well, I prefer it down here. Leave me alone. I'll just stay where I am, thank you very much. And you can do that with Jesus if you want. You can say, no, just leave me alone. Not bother. I don't want to believe in Jesus. But if you do, there's no hope. No hope at all. Whoever does not believe is condemned. Whoever does believe has eternal life. So what's going to happen to you? What are you going to do? That's a question for you to ask this Christmas. And we're going to end by singing our last carol, which is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And then I'm going to close in prayer. And just make one or two announcements before we close in prayer. But we'll sing now, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thank you, Gwen. Please be seated. Just a couple of things to mention this week. First of all, on Wednesday night, at 6:30, I think it is, we're going to be singing carols outside the church on Parr Street and Sunnyside, outside Fletcher Park there on Sunnyside, actually. We'll be singing carols in the snow and in the bleak midwinter, wrap up warm, and then after we've sung a few carols with our neighbours from Sunnyside and Parr Street, and if there's anybody from Sunnyside and Parr Street with us tonight, you're particularly welcome. We'll be singing there on Wednesday night, and then we'll be coming back downstairs, and there'll be festive refreshments available downstairs Wednesday night. Christmas morning, 11 o'clock, just a 45-minute family time together in church here. 45 minutes on Christmas morning. Okay? You still with me? Good. What was the other thing? Ah, yes, Christianity Explored. Near your chair, somewhere, you will find a card, a Christianity Explored card. On the back of the Christianity Explored card is the list of the Christianity Explored talks. We're going to do the Christianity Explored on Sunday mornings at 10:30 for the first few mornings, Sunday mornings of 2011. So it'll be the Christianity Explored course, which is a recognised course. It was created by the Anglican Church, so it's it's kosher, it's okay. We'll be doing those talks here on Sunday mornings for the first few Sunday mornings of 2011, January and February. So come along if you want to know more about the Christian faith, or if you want a refresher course on the Christian faith. Those are the talks to come to in January and February. Okay. Well, thank you for coming. Don't forget the refreshments downstairs, mince pies and stuff downstairs. You're welcome to stay for that. And we're going to close in prayer now. Let's particularly remember Sarah and Gary Woodhouse and their two children, aged about 8 and 6, maybe? 8 and 6. And they're stuck in Heathrow Airport. Imagine it. They're going to New Zealand with two small children for a Christmas holiday with their parents, with Sarah's parents in New Zealand. They've been at Heathrow Airport since Friday evening, waiting to go, and there's no movement yet, I don't think. Imagine two young children, 8 and 6, not being able to get out of Heathrow Airport. So let's pray for the Woodhouses, for Sarah and Gary. And please join me in prayer now. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful time of the year when we remember your love in coming to us, coming down into the darkness where we are, in order to lift us out and lift us up to yourself through Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you that we've been able to celebrate that in these readings and these songs and hymns this afternoon. We pray, Lord, especially for Sarah and Gary and the children as they're stuck there at Heathrow Airport. We do pray, Lord, that things will get moving soon and that they'll be able to get on their way to New Zealand to share Christmas with the family out there. We do especially remember some of our members who are in hospital. We think of Alma in Barrow, Furness Hospital. And we think of Carol Jackson in Westmoreland General. And we think of Cicely in that nursing home. And we pray that you'd be especially close to them this Christmas. So, Lord, bless us all this Christmas time, we pray. Give us a good time with our families and help us to put you first. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen.